Thank you and welcome. This is a public meeting conducted by the California Public Utilities Commission for an Environmental Impact Report, which we will call EIR throughout the meeting, on the proposed steam generator replacement project at the Diablo Canyon Power Plant. The project is being proposed by Pacific Gas and Electric. My name is Karen Linehan, and I work for Katz & Associates, a public involvement firm. I'm the neutral facilitator for this meeting. Representing the California Public Utilities Commission tonight is Andrew Barnsdale. And next to me is Tom Murphy with Aspen Environmental Group, the EIR contractor. To provide an overview of the, do we have slides for this? An overview of the meeting agenda, first I'll explain the purpose and format of tonight's meeting. Then Andrew Barnsdale will provide a brief overview of the application that PG&E has made to the CPUC. He will also describe the CPUC's process for reviewing and acting upon that application. Then Tom Murphy will provide an overview of the proposed steam generator replacement project. He will explain the environmental review process and describe the draft EIR and its findings. After that, I will invite you up to provide verbal comments on the draft EIR. The purpose of this meeting is as follows. State agencies preparing EIRs are required to provide a 45-day review period of a draft EIR. Although not required by the California Environmental Quality Act, it has been the CPUC's practice to conduct a public meeting during the review period. This meeting is being held so that the CPUC can get a better understanding of the public's thoughts on the draft EIR prior to the end of the comment period. Therefore, the purposes of this meeting are to, one, inform the public about the availability of the draft EIR and the 45-day public review period, to inform the public about the findings of the draft EIR, and to listen to the public's input on the draft EIR. The CPUC wants constructive input that will assist in the finalization of the EIR. Specifically, they are looking for input on the analysis of the proposed project's impacts presented in the draft EIR. Please note that this is not a Q&A session on the proposed project. The purpose of this meeting is to take comments on the draft EIR. The decision to approve or deny the proposed project is addressed in a separate CPUC process, referred to as a general proceeding. A local video group is taping the session tonight, and it will be shown on your local access television. The format of the meeting is as follows. After the presentation on the project and the draft EIR, I will ask you to come up to the microphone one at a time to provide your comments. In order to be called to the microphone to speak, you will need to fill out a speaker card that looks like this. They're being collected at the sign-in table at the front of the room, or the back of the room. Fill that out and turn it in, and I will call your name in the order that the comment forms are received. Each person will have 3 minutes to speak. Because of the time limit, please be succinct and focus your comments on environmental issues related to the proposed project. Please be respectful of others who wish to speak by wrapping up your statement when your time is up. You're also encouraged to submit your comments to the CPUC in writing. Comment forms are also provided around the room at the sign-in table. And if you wish to mail them in, you can do so. You may also submit your comments tonight to any of the project team members or submit via the email address that's provided on the form. During the public comment portion of the meeting, we will note your comments for consideration during the finalization of the EIR. We do not intend to answer questions during this meeting. If you have questions about the project or the draft EIR, please talk to the CPUC representatives or one of the EIR consultants. There should be time to talk with them after the meeting. You can also submit your questions in writing using one of the comment forms. You're welcome to make any comments you wish regarding the proposed project during your 3 minutes, but we ask that you try to focus your comments on environmental issues related to the draft EIR. Please note that the EIR preparers are not involved in the decision on the project and that the EIR makes no recommendations regarding the project. The EIR is only an information document, and we ask that you refrain from making statements for or against the proposed project, since that's not the type of input that we're looking for tonight. And now I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Andrew Barnsdale.
Good evening. Hi, I'm Andrew Barnsdale. I'm with the California Public Utilities Commission. Can everyone hear me? Okay. I'm with the Energy Division of the California Public Utilities Commission, and I'll just briefly tell you a little bit about who we are and what we do and why we're here tonight and how this all fits together. The PUC is in San Francisco. It's our headquarters, and we regulate investor-owned utilities. That includes transportation and some rail, things like airport limos and that sort of thing. We also regulate gas companies, electric companies, water companies, and telephony companies. So we have that all that going on. I'm in a unit that does environmental review for the commission, and we live in the energy division because that's where the bulk of our work is. So that's who I am. And why we're here tonight is we regulate PG&E, and we regulate the things that they do. And when they have to ask us for something, it causes our commission to have to vote and to approve or deny what they've asked for. And PG&E has applied to our commission to replace the steam generators at Diablo Canyon. And that's something that is both a physical issue and also an economic issue. It costs money as well as it's something that you have to construct and build. So they applied to us for that, and that triggered our general proceeding. We have a judge assigned to that. It's Judge O'Donnell. And we have a commissioner, Commissioner Jeff Brown, who are presiding over the general proceeding. We have kind of a two-track review at the commission. The general proceeding reviews finances and economics and issues that deal with rates and those sorts of things, and those are being reviewed at the commission. And then in a simultaneous and separate review, there's an environmental review that doesn't look at finances and economics and that sort of thing. It just looks at what's being proposed and what are the impacts of it. It's a very technical exercise. That is what I do and why we're here tonight. The general proceeding is going on in the case up in San Francisco, and tonight the other side of it, the environmental side of it, the CEQA side, is what we're here to do. We have a draft EIR out on PG&E's proposed project, and again, as was said earlier, it's out for 45 days. And we'd really like to get your comments on that draft EIR in writing, here tonight, by email later on. Please let us know. It's the comment period is open until the 5th of May. Essentially, we'd like to throw it open. I'd like to throw it open to Tom to tell you more about the project itself. But that's the PUC and who we are and what we do.
Thank you, Andrew. My name is Tom Murphy with Aspen Environmental Group. I'm the project manager for the steam generator replacement project. I wanted to give you a little overview of the project and some of the milestones that have gone on over the last several months. PG&E filed a PEA at the CPUC on January 9, 2004 to replace the steam generators at Diablo Canyon Power Plant. The CEQA scoping process started in October and extended through November of 2004. We had two sets of scoping meetings. We had one scoping meeting in San Francisco on October 13th, and then we had two scoping meetings down here in this room on October 27th. The draft EIR was released to the public on March 21st, and as Andrew said, the public comment period ends on May 5th of 2005. This slide shows the flow chart of the EIR process. We're at the draft EIR review period, and that's at the yellow box right here. It's 45-day review period, and that's where interested parties are able to review the draft EIR and provide comments to the CPUC on the analysis conducted in the document. Following the public review period, we will respond to your comments, make any changes to the draft EIR, and prepare a final EIR that goes to the CPUC for its use in a decision on the project. I wanted to provide a brief summary of PG&E's proposed project. If you'd like more detail on the project, Section B of the draft EIR provides a great deal of information. There are basically four components associated with Diablo Canyon Steam Generator Replacement Project. The first component is a transport of the replacement steam generators from a Southern California port to Port San Luis or the Diablo Canyon Intake Cove. From the Port San Luis area, the steam generators would be offloaded and they'd be transported along the access road for approximately 7 miles to Diablo Canyon, where they'd be staged. And that's part of the second component here, where PG&E's identified approximately 100,000 square feet of storage area that they need, of warehouses, to stage and prepare those steam generators. The third component is to remove the original steam generators from units 1 and 2. There's 4 steam generators for each unit for a total of 8 steam generators that would be replaced. After the OSGs, or the original steam generators, are removed, they would be transported and stored at a original steam generator storage facility northeast of the main units. We have a figure that I'll show you in a second. The fourth component is the replacement of the steam generator, or basically installing the replacement steam generators, and then the project operational. This figure shows the transport route from Port San Luis, which is down in this area along the access road to Diablo Canyon power plant area. That's approximately 7 miles that each steam generator would travel. Again, there's 8 steam generators, so 8 round trips that would take place during the installation and replacement of those steam generators. The next figure shows the different components, or the locations of the different components. Up in the right-hand corner, we have a preferred location for the original steam generator storage facility. It's right next to the 500 kV switchyard. To show some relation, here's Unit 1 and Unit 2 right here. We also have the locations of the TSAs, or the temporary storage areas, down here in the southern portion. That's what I was talking about, the 100,000 square foot that PG&E has requested. And then the containment access facilities. And this is a point of access for the workers to go into the buildings and out of the buildings. There were a lot of comments associated with the CEQA approach for this project during the scoping period. I wanted to briefly describe our approach to the CEQA analysis for this project. Should you need additional information on this issue, please see Section D1 of the draft EIR. We really tried to provide a great deal of information on our approach to the CEQA analysis. As described by CEQA regulations, the baseline conditions are defined as the conditions that exist in the project area at the time the NOP is released. And the NOP was released in October of 2004. That would include an operating nuclear power plant at Diablo Canyon, and both units would be operating under an NRC license through 2021 and 2025. There was also a lot of comments, or a great deal of comments, on extension of life of the Diablo Canyon plant. As stated previously, Diablo Canyon licenses expire in 2021 and 2025. PG&E has no plans to renew their existing licenses at this time. PG&E has stated in numerous data responses to CPUC over the last several months that they have no plans of formally submitting an application to the NRC. As a result, this EIR does not evaluate the potential impacts of operating Diablo Canyon beyond the NRC license expiration dates. Should PG&E want to renew their licenses, PG&E would need to go through the NRC's license renewal process. This process looks at the safety and environmental aspects of continuing to operate that power plant. In addition, should the license renewal process require rate making, the license renewal project may need to go through the CPUC's CEQA process. And I'd like to refer the public to Section G for further details on this. We did provide a great deal of information on the NRC's license renewal process. We also spent time reviewing and developing the no-project scenario. Under the no-project scenario, Diablo Canyon operations will continue until the steam generators need to be shut down because of degradation issues sometime in 2013 or 2014 time period. We found that the no-project scenario provided beneficial environmental effects associated with marine resources and public safety. However, the 2,200 megawatts of power that Diablo Canyon generates would need to be replaced with various generation and transmission infrastructure throughout California. These new projects would cause environmental impacts to biological resources, water, visual, noise, and other issue areas. For cumulative impacts, this is a situation when a project might not be considered significant when considered alone, but may have a significant impact in conjunction with future planned projects. We contacted all local agencies to identify all reasonably foreseeable projects near Diablo Canyon. These projects are all listed in Section F of the draft EIR. Because the Diablo Canyon project would not occur for several years, there wasn't a great number of planned projects in the area for Diablo Canyon. As a result, we also evaluated the cumulative effects from forecasted growth in the area, or general plan issues. And CEQA requires one or the other to take a look at cumulative issues associated with particular projects or from a forecasted growth or general plan analysis, and we took a look at both of those options. With regard to the license renewal, because PG&E has not submitted a formal application to the NRC for license renewal, the license renewal process is not a reasonably foreseeable project and therefore was not included in the cumulative analysis. With regard to CPUC's jurisdiction, the NRC, as stated up here on the slide, the NRC is responsible for oversight and licensing of all commercial power, research, test reactors, and nuclear materials in the U.S. The NRC has preemptive jurisdiction over state and local regulations regarding the use, storage, transport of nuclear materials, and protection of public safety. Federal law does not permit the NRC to delegate responsibilities to states regarding these issues. As a result, CPUC does not have jurisdiction to regulate or condition the proposed project with regard to safety or nuclear materials handling and storage issues. CPUC has analyzed system and transportation safety issues in the interest of full disclosure only. In addition, CPUC identified mitigation measures to ensure public safety during transport and replacement of these projects. However, the NRC would have the ultimate authority to impose the recommended measures associated with safety or nuclear material handling and storage issues. We also conducted an extensive alternative screening analysis. All alternatives were evaluated for the ability to meet three CEQA criteria, meet most of the project objectives, be feasible from a regulatory, technical, and legal standpoint, reduce or eliminate significant impacts of the proposed project. As stated in the proponent's environmental assessment, PG&E has identified a number of options to the project components. These were all considered alternatives to the draft EIR. Aspen took that information and thoroughly reviewed all potential alternatives to the project components. Only one alternative was identified in addition to PG&E's options, and that was the transport of the steam generators off-site for storage. This figure right here shows the different options or alternatives that we evaluated. Up in the right-hand corner, we have the OSG storage facility locations. There's four additional ones besides the preferred, which I think the preferred was right in here. The TSA alternative, or temporary storage area alternatives, are down in this location. As you can see, they're all very close to each other. And then the last one was the intake cove, which is one of the options for offloading the steam generators. Overall, we found that the environmentally superior alternative was the proposed project with the following alternative segments. For the replacement steam generator offloading location, we found that the intake cove was the best option. For the TSA locations or the temporary storage areas, that we found no preference. Actually, as you saw in the previous figure, they were all in the same location with very similar impacts. For the OSG or the original steam generator storage facility location, any alternative was identified as preferred over the off-site disposal alternative. After the draft EIR comment period, we'll respond to all comments and release a final EIR in probably the third quarter of 2005. And we also anticipate the CPUC to vote on the proposed decision in that time frame as well. If the project or an alternative is approved, the decision will require monitoring of adopted mitigation measures for this proposed project. After this presentation, we'll take oral and written comments from the public on the draft EIR. Your comments are being videotaped, as Karen said tonight, and will be responded to in the final EIR. We encourage you to send written comments to our project address, email, or fax number. The public comment period for the draft EIR ends on May 5th, 2005. For more information on the proposed steam generator replacement project, please see our project website or visit the information repositories as they're identified up here. You can also email or call us on the project information line for additional information on the project. I'll turn it over to Karen to conduct the public participation meeting.
Can I have the next slide? Okay, so now we'll turn it over to you. We'd like to hear your comments. I have the cards. They've been numbered in the order they were received. And I will call the first three speakers, and as we get down, I'll keep calling you so you know when you're going to come up so we can keep the process moving. Let me turn on the mic. Okay, so everybody will have 3 minutes to speak, and okay, the first three speakers are Henriette Groot, Mark Skinner, and Jill Zamek, or Zamek. Please tell us your name and speak clearly
before I start my 3 minutes. Might we know who the third gentleman at the table is? You did not introduce him.
My name is John Davidson with Aspen Environmental Group. I'm preparing the environmental impact report for a very similar project at San Onofre Nuclear Power Plant for the Commission.
Okay, thank you. We were all wondering. And my name is Henriette Groot, and I'm a member of the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility. I have been reviewing the section on marine impacts, and you might say I'm here to speak up for the fish and the fish larvae. We all know that the fish populations in our oceans are in trouble. The fishermen are not allowed to fish as often as they used to and are very unhappy. I would have liked to see something in the report on current fish populations. There are very informative reports out, the Pew report, for example. So that's one omission. Another serious omission is, and I discussed that with the gentleman, is that the report gives no data on the entrainment at Diablo Canyon. Entrainment is the loss of fish larvae in the cooling water that goes into the power plant. Also omitted was any mention of the California thermal plan in section D3.2, where the legal constraints are mentioned, Coastal Commission, etc. The California thermal plan should have been mentioned because there's a huge thermal impact at Diablo. You might also mention the California energy plans. There's some interesting stuff coming out of the CEC these days with respect to how we should be spending our energy money. The section on the discussion with about the Regional Water Quality Control Board is misleading. It is stated that the Water Board staff and the Attorney General negotiated a settlement. The staff may talk about anything, but it is the board that decides, and that should be made clear. This so-called settlement was thrown out by the board in 2003 when they couldn't approve the NPDES permit for Diablo. I find it very disappointing that you claim that under CEQA, thermal plume, impingement, and entrainment are baseline conditions and we don't have to worry about them. I think this makes a travesty of CEQA. Surely the framers of that law could not have meant that if you do damage at the current time that you can just keep doing so forever. Actually, I understand under the guidelines that there is a discussion about cumulative damage and significant irreversible changes.
15 seconds.
Just keep in mind that if the PUC gives this 10, 20-year fishing license to PG&E, we will end up with no fish larvae. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Mark Skinner.
This goes to alternative energy. Worldwide, wind energy has grown 28% annually over the last 5 years. And the installed capacity, which is the generating power of working wind turbines, doubles every 3 years. It is the fastest growing energy source in the world. Some 6,000 megawatts of wind capacity, enough to power 1.5 million homes, are added annually. Folks, nuclear energy is going to die of market forces. In 1978, wind was $1 per kilowatt hour. In 1998, it was 5 cents per kilowatt hour. In 2003, it is 3 to 4 cents per kilowatt hour. By 2003, the world had 39,000 megawatts of installed wind power. Denmark, with a population of 5.4 million people, has the world's highest proportion of electricity generated by wind, more than 20%. Its wind industry provides 20,000 jobs. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the U.S. has less than 1% of its energy from wind. California, oddly enough, leads the nation with more than 2,000 megawatts of installed wind. We have states like North Dakota, Texas, and Kansas, which can supply the U.S. energy demand just in those three states. With that 2,000 megawatts of installed wind energy in California, that saves the energy equivalent of 4.8 million barrels of oil per year. If we assume global leadership and match the Danes in the developing wind energy field, we should set a target of producing 25% or 10,000 megawatts of energy of California's energy by 2008. That's enough energy to replace Diablo 4.5 times. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Jill Zemeck, followed by Marty Brown, followed by David Weissman.
Hi. I'm Jill Zemeck with the... Does it need to go down?
Yeah, or just aim it down.
Better?
Yeah.
With the San Luis Obispo Mothers for Peace. I'd like to speak to what actually is a glaring flaw in the EIR, and that's its decision to view the license renewal as you say, speculative and not a reasonably foreseeable outcome of the proposed project. And I think that CEQA requires you to look at what is foreseeable, and I disagree with the EIR's decision to do that, because PG&E has gotten its license to build the ISFISI, which is for the dry cask storage. And Commissioner Jeff Brown at the last scoping meeting even said, oh, yeah, if PG&E gets the steam generators, it's a done deal, that they're going to request a license extension. And so, and even in here, it says the project could provide an incentive for PG&E to apply to extend the licenses, and thus may increase to some degree the likelihood of PG&E will apply for license extension. And I think, like Jeff Brown says, it's a done deal. They will definitely be applying for a license extension, and therefore that makes this EIR, I believe, deficient and inaccurate and incomplete. And it, 'cause this report doesn't consider the additional years, which would probably be an additional 25 beyond what you consider the 25, probably to the year 2045, additional years of accumulated high-level radioactive waste, marine degradation, seismic risk, terrorist threat, or the effects of prolonged operation on public safety or the environment. Thank you.
Thank you. Marty Brown.
Good evening. My name is Marty Brown. On pages ES2 and ES23 of the draft environmental impact report dated March of 2005, prepared for the commission, it states, the no project alternative represents a continuation of current environmental conditions with the foreseeable closure of Diablo Canyon Power Plant, forced by the deterioration of the steam generators. The surroundings would experience beneficial environmental effects by shutting down the routine operation of Diablo Canyon Power Plant, most notably in the areas of marine biological resources and public safety. I know that's been stated, but it bears repeating. The public safety is the thing that really is interesting. Any replacement power source that would be implemented would be safer for the public, the environment, and future generations. As far as expense, if you take into account all the costs, both financial and environmental, of nuclear generation, from replacement of expensive generators and other parts and machinery, security, storage, transport, and so on, it is by far the most costly method of producing electricity. This doesn't take into account the cost of any accidents, natural disasters, or terrorist attacks. The cost would be astronomical in every way. Who pays these costs? We do, the ratepayers. We also bear the weight of untold tons of highly radioactive waste with no end in sight. I don't want it in my neighborhood, but I don't want it to be shipped to someone else's either. We don't want you to allow PG&E to replace the steam generators. We want a clean technology to be the replacement generation. Every effort should be made to identify a method that does not create air pollution or hazardous waste. I respectfully submit this. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have David Weissman, followed by Eric
Greening,
and Paula Dilak. Sorry, everybody.
Usually there's a podium in this room, something to put stuff on. Is it around somewhere? Because we've got...
The video company didn't want to use the podium to be able to capture
that. All right, let's improvise something then, shall we?
You want me to hold the check?
No, I need something for my paper so I can talk with my hands at the same time. Well,
you
here.
Want me to hold your paper? No, I'm just going to turn something sideways and I spread things out. It's just always nice to have.
There's a little shelf underneath that makes it extra handy as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have my check holder here today. My name is David Weissman, and I'd like to begin by addressing the issue. We've heard it mentioned that it will cost money for this project. How much money? $800 million. Some people in the audience may not be fully aware of what that looks like and just how many zeros are involved if the CPUC grants the ability for PG&E to have the ratepayers fork over $800 million. I mention this because on the first page of the executive summary, it says in the application that PG&E bills this as being low-cost emission-free energy. Well, low-cost, one should see how many zeros are involved in that. And would someone like to... There we go. We have that there. Since time is short and 3 minutes can't adequately do this, the other thing is procedural point. You stop the clock on a procedural point. At previous meetings, there's been no written transcript or transcriber. We've had no way to verify the records. I'd like to go on the record as asking, will the DVDs be available for the public to check out or request a copy of without impingement or hindrance so that we may reference the material and have actual ability to verify our own records? Or will you be making a written transcript from the DVD that will then be posted as a PDF in some downloadable form on the web?
I doubt we'll make it.
I doubt very much we're making a written transcript available of it. I don't know if there will be copies available or not.
Okay, because that's important for us to be able to access those words. And the reason I mention that is because a lot of times you've heard people say, we said something at the scoping meeting where we brought up something and then we don't see it referenced in the report, so it makes us wonder if our words, since they're being taken as handwritten notes, actually made it in. That's why I'm looking for some verifiable, traceable form that these words were actually recorded and can be retrieved if necessary. So we'll have to discuss that later. Well, in the hope that that will be the case then, I'll go to the point here. The most glaring omission in the 500 pages of this document is found under the no project alternative. As we've heard it said, the authors have indicated that the surroundings would experience a beneficial environmental effect by shutting down routine operation of DCPP, most notably in the area of marine biological resources. And at the same time, they give the short shrift to the alternative choices available. At this time, it would be remote and speculative. Again, the words that were used on the license renewal, right? Remote and speculative to predict exactly how replacement power would be provided given the wide range of possibilities, type, sizes, and numbers of projects that might be constructed. Because of these limitations, the environmental assessment for the no project analyzed alternative does not analyze specific replacement power scenarios. Well, if in the same paragraph you've said that the environmental benefit, environmental impact, CEQA, is not having Diablo Canyon operate, then how is it you can give short shrift to the alternatives? And I point that out because in the actual section C6, six pages on alternative, a paragraph or so per alternative, and then when I go to the references, two-thirds of them are for the applicant. Now, at the October 17th, 27th meeting, the 17th meeting here, so I point out is when I mentioned to staff people that, oh, this sounds good. Oh, yeah, you should send us that. Well, I did. I gave it at that other meeting. I'm not seeing the references.
15 seconds.
A lot of people aren't seeing their references. I'm not even going to address that. I will submit these in writing. Suffice to say to the public that this is an expensive project, and we're not seeing alternative or renewable energies being given the need that they need to be fully addressed by to make this a complete evaluation. Six pages is inadequate.
Thank you.
And thank you. Of course, this does not preclude my appearance again tomorrow, does it?
No, it doesn't.
All right, thanks. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Eric Greening, followed by Paula Dilak, followed by Jane Swanson.
I'm Eric Greening, and given the time, I will hit one of the most concerning passages and then make a general comment. Page H3, under mitigation compliance responsibility, paragraph 2 reads as follows. The applicant shall inform the CPUC and its monitors in writing of any mitigation measures that are not or cannot be successfully implemented. The CPUC, in coordination with its monitors, will assess whether alternative mitigation is appropriate and specify to PG&E the subsequent actions required. This is a loophole that resembles if this floor ceased to exist and any anything in this room could simply fall an unknown distance. This is essentially a loophole that says there is no promise to complete or abide by any mitigation specified in this document. It does not specify the CPUC process. Would these decisions be made on a staff level? Would they go to public hearing? Would the public be informed or involved? Would the public have a way to protest or appeal a decision to abandon a mitigation? Would these things appear in the written weekly reports? What time length would the public be given? Or would it simply be a behind-the-scenes staff decision? I know you're not answering questions today, but since you are representing the CPUC, this is definitely something the public needs to know about. But better yet, ditch this irresponsible paragraph because it is an enormous loophole. The general comment is you're hearing from a number of speakers, and we'll hear from a number more speakers, of serious omissions, huge missing pieces in this EIR. Because of that, it is appropriate not to proceed to a final EIR, but to do a revised draft with those missing pieces. The whole purpose of having a public comment period in the EIR process is to have the public be able to review the data, review the assumptions, review the process, and comment and incorporate responses to those comments. When we're talking about huge missing pieces, simply putting them in a final does not give the public the opportunity to comment thereon. Therefore, I would ask that we have a revised draft, not proceed to a final. And you'll hear more reasons as other speakers get up, but you've already heard some very, very significant missing pieces. Thank you.
Thank you. Paula?
I'll let her say it.
Hi. My name is Paula Dalek. And I'm a citizen of Morro Bay, and I'm a supporter of the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility. Thank you. I would like to express my concern about a deficiency in the DEIR, specifically the consideration of environmentally superior alternatives to allowing steam generators to be replaced. The state's energy policy, and that's proceeding R0404003, requires every utility company to consider a wide range of options for meeting future energy needs, including energy-efficient alternatives. And in its long-term resource planning, PG&E was actually ordered to specifically consider a future without Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant. The DEIR could have looked at energy efficiency and renewable energy improvements in improvements in transition lines and new high-efficiency gas-fired power generations. But the DEIR has not taken this order seriously and does not even mention that this long-term planning process is underway. Please make a serious effort to analyze alternatives and have the DEIR include such an analysis. Thank you.
Thank you. Jane Swanson will be followed by Carrie Filler.
My name is... Is this on?
Yes.
Okay. My name is Jane Swanson. I'm an active member of the San Luis Obispo Mothers for Peace. Thank you. This draft EIR treats this project as if it is a simple construction project, such as the one you see a block away with a fence around it. But it's not a project that is confined to a given area on a map, not at all. The report ignores the unique aspect of this project. There's radioactive waste involved. I looked in your table under hazardous materials, and there's nothing there about radioactive waste. And I know there's not radioactive waste in a steam generator, but everything affects everything else in a complex project like this. And there's radioactive waste on site. When assessing environmental impacts of a project that will lead to the accumulation of many more years of this radioactive waste, the EIR really has an obligation to address the additional amount of radioactive materials and its storage on site. The EIR only accounts for approximately 11 additional years of operation. Mothers for Peace obviously disagrees with that. We're quite sure PG&E is planning right this very minute to extend another 20 years beyond that. But we don't have to argue about 11 years versus 30 years or more. The principle remains the same. We have additional radioactive waste, and it's not addressed in the EIR, the draft EIR. With these additional radioactive wastes, we have more potential for radioactive releases from either an earthquake, terrorism, or, let's not forget, human error. And should such an event happen, the radiation release would definitely not stop at the boundaries of your map that you showed us a few minutes ago. The consequences of such a radiation release are so catastrophic, and yet they're not in the EIR. There's no serious analysis of what they might be or of what mitigation measures should be put into place. So this is a huge hole, a huge gap and deficiency in this draft, and that is my input, that this hole needs to be filled before this is complete. Thank you.
Thank you. Our last speaker will be Carrie Filler. If you would like to speak, please fill out a comment card.
Does that mean I have more than 3 minutes since we have another?
No.
am I ready? Are you ready? Hi, my name is Carrie Filler. I went over the section, can you hear me? For the utilities and service providers. Listed there, General Hospital is listed as a service provider. Is General Hospital still open?
No.
So that French is. So if you look in there, General Hospital is listed as one of the service providers, and I think that's an error. And I think that needs to be taken into consideration when there could be an extra 900 additional workers on the site opposed to how many people they have on. There's hundreds on site at the time. So if anything does go wrong, that could really impact our hospital resources. And that was on Section D10-2. And so with my additional time, I'd like to make the comments as to my displeasure and my feelings of that it's an omission to say that PG&E don't, because they haven't formally submitted, this is all semantics, they haven't formally submitted their application. They are looking into it. The NRC has stated many times that it fully expects all operating nuclear power plants to apply for renewals. It won't be a surprise to them. If the NRC can foresee it, I think the Public Utilities Commission could foresee it reasonably. And since if without this replacement project, PG&E states it will have to shut down and cease by 2014, that if the NRC can foresee it, the PUC should foresee it, that it will essentially increase the operating time and the degradation to the marine resources and all the other impacts that come along with operating the facility. And the other omission is the a lack of details to alternatives. I know the money's come into someone else's play, but it's a huge sum of money that we're being asked to pay. It's failing 20 years before it's supposed to. And to say that there are no alternatives, that's too hard to look into, so we don't have to, is sort of inexcusable. And I think it does not a justice to the people of California and the ratepayers. So I think the PUC could come up with some other alternatives other than let's just move them off-site. There's probably some more project alternatives to doing this than just saying let's move these gigantic things someplace else, because I don't think anybody else wants them in their backyard. We let them come in here. We're stuck with the mess. Our county representatives have let this go on, so we have to deal with the mess that we have. And I think that's it.
Thank you. We received two more speaker cards. First will be Richard Kelly, followed by Elizabeth Apfelberg.
Yeah, my handwriting must be bad. It's Richard Keller.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Let's say it.
Nuclear! Let's say it. It's out there. We all know it's there. You guys are trying to avoid it. PG&E doesn't want you to say it. I understand that. But I'm going to say it. Nuclear! It's radioactive. Okay, we got that out of the way. I'll repeat it eventually. Diablo power plant. Nuclear power plant. Very dangerous. Steam generator. Radioactive nuclear steam generators. Perhaps we should make changes in the EIR reflecting those things. People seem to have a concern about those things. OSG. Maybe it should be HRJ. Highly radioactive junk. It failed early. You're going to put it on our coast, and you want to bring in a whole nother set. So we'll have twice as much. Lucky us. And we get to pay for it. Wonderful. Diablo Canyon is not state-of-the-art. Who would buy a 30-year-old computer-controlled system? Nobody even wants a 3-year-old computer. You want to keep this thing alive. Come on, give me a break here. We go to the NRC meetings. We go to the PUC meetings. We go to the Health Committee safety meetings. We listen to PG&E. We listen to all of these people, professionals, experts, testify. We hear all sorts of different information. I don't really recognize you all. I don't see you at the NRC hearings down here. You don't hear the things that we hear. Our concerns are valid because we are reiterating to you what we've been told. We know that there is an attempt to relicense. This is all part of a scheme. You guys haven't watched the tapes. You guys are busy, I understand that. But it's important to us. And we are the checks and balances. We are the public check and balances of all of the individual organizations. You are only seeing your own myopic, small vision. You're part of the scheme. We see it all. And we are notifying you what you need to take into consideration. Lastly, Diablo Canyon is a perfect target. We all know this. It will take out Vandenberg, which is our entire West Coast defense system. Disneyland, your kids will be pissed. Los Angeles, the rest of the West Coast, and all the agriculture in 4 states. Are you really sure you want to keep this thing running? Nuclear! Radiation, not a good thing. It goes everywhere and doesn't quit. Thank you.
Thank you. Elizabeth Appleberg.
My name is Elizabeth Appleberg, and I'm with the San Luis Obispo Mothers for Peace. And I just wanted to say something on environmental impact report and the fact that everything is really very narrow just to the environmental impact of replacing the steam generators on this particular site. 11 more years, even not counting license renewal, 11 more years of continued running of this plant are not 11 years of emission-free, emission-clean energy production because of the fact that the environmental impact report just is considered this particular site and does not take into account that in order to produce so-called clean energy at a nuclear facility, you have to mine, mill, and enrich uranium, which leads to very high air pollution, greenhouse gases, and an overall degradation of the environment in which we live in this world, not just here in San Luis Obispo. So for that reason, to consider the full environmental impact of replacing the generators needs to be done.
Thank you. Any more comment cards? Well, I'd like to thank everybody for coming tonight, for listening to what the team has to say, and for sharing your comments with the team. The draft EIR, the final EIR, will be issued sometime this summer. If you would like to stay after and speak with any of the project team, you can do so. Thank you.